Haribol. So we are in the lesson 3. Two was last week. So we are in lesson 3. But since you told lesson 2, so we will have a look, what did we do for lesson 2? What will you call the whole lesson 2? Dharma Kshetra. A bit more specific. Yeah, it's right, it's Dharma Kshetra. The Dharma theme is running. However, what is more specifically? Yeah, but the whole thing, which chapter did we cover?
One.
It is chapter 1, and of course we went through Dharma Kshetra, to the principles of Dharma. Which are the sections of chapter 1? What is the first section? Is that the first section of chapter 1? What is that? Importance of Kurukshetra, moving towards, then? Alright, the Duryodhana's diplomacy, followed by? Science of victory, then? Arjuna's doubts. And there we actually stopped. So Arjuna have quite a few doubts, and there we stop. Okay, Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala too. Okay, it's very important. That's good. Now I'll start with a quote which will be befitting today's topic. So today's topic will come to that. Prabhupada is saying, it's just a one line. Prabhupada is saying, Vaishnava is not so easy. Prabhupada is saying, Vaishnava is not so easy. The Varnashram Dharma should be established to become a Vaishnava. It is not so easy to become Vaishnava. So Prabhupada is telling the importance of Varnashram Dharma. Varnashram system. So today's topic is Varnashram Dharma. So the whole discussion is about Varnashram Dharma from different sections of Bhagavad Gita. So which are the sections?
16.1,
18.4, and okay. Then 2.3
to 2.11.
2.11
to
2.8. Okay, 11. Yeah, that's right. And then first chapter. 4.13, yeah, that is covered.
16.1.
Yeah, 16, that's all covered. So 16.1 is covered. 18 chapter, 41 to 48, that is done. Then 4 chapter, 4.13, and 2nd chapter Prabhuji told from 2, 3 till 11, and apart from that,
31 to 32.
Exactly, 31, 32, and also some sections of the last section of chapter 1 as well. So the whole idea is to discuss what is Varnashram Dharma. So at the beginning of the discussion, we will be going through definition and explanation of Varnashram Dharma, then specific duties of each Varna and each Ashram. So what is Varnashram Dharma? What are the duties of different Varnas and Ashrams within Varnashram Dharma? Followed by which are the modes attached, you know, the material modes of nature which are attached to each Varna. Then what is the procedure in following, what is the principle behind following Varnashram Dharma, and what is the result that one can achieve by following Varnashram Dharma. So this is a package, it's like a Varnashram lecture. That is the beginning, that is the first part of today's class. So I know you have all, is it locked? Don't lock it, just leave it there. Yeah. So you are all, I hope you are all familiar with Varnashram Dharma. Everyone might have heard about Varnashram Dharma. Anyone who didn't hear so far about Varnashram Dharma? It's new, this term. It's okay, you can raise your hand. Is it new to you? Yes. At least one person is there. It is new. The term itself is new, Varnashram Dharma. But not an issue. We'll be going through step by step. Okay, so here, the first part. The explanation of Varnashram Dharma and its definition. So Srila Prabhupada gives a very very specific definition to Varnashram Dharma. So a very simple and very succinct definition of Varnashram Dharma, what is it meant? Prabhupada says, a specific duties in terms of the specific modes of nature of the body obtained. Can you see that? It's coming from 2nd chapter, 31st verse purport, towards the end. It is very nicely described. Specific duties in terms of the specific modes of nature of the body occurred. So each and every one has a body, of course, and this body is affected by a certain kind of mode of nature. Means it can be in the mode of goodness, it can be in the mode of passion, it can be in the mode of ignorance, or it can be mix of everything to varying degree. So we have different tendencies. So if you ask how can we know what is the mode in which our body is affected, it is very simple. We can understand by how we are acting. What is our disposition towards different work, for instance. That actually shows what is our nature. Basically, the varnashram dharma, especially the varnas and the ashrams, varna basically is determined by the modes. One can be in the goodness, one can be in passion, can be a combination of both, can be in ignorance predominantly, or combination of passion and ignorance. So anyway, the occupational duty that one can do is depends on one's nature. That is a simple point. Is it right? If we consider one person is a teacher, somebody is a soldier, or somebody is in administration, or somebody is working hard in a labor position. In all these circumstances, one has one's nature and by which one is working. That is default. Can anyone relate to that? In a practical sense, the old traditional Indian concept, I'm not talking about the Vedic times, but modern times, whoever is there, whichever boy or girl, if they passed year 10, year 12, they all should become, you know, either engineer, doctor, or, you know, something in that line. Everyone should go in one direction. Is right? If somebody gets good marks in their education, in 10th or 11th or 12th or whatever, then everyone should become, go in a certain direction. But not necessary that it is suiting the nature. Not necessary. Seen people crying after, you know, got very, very high marks in the entrance examination for medicals. They started their medical profession in terms of their study. After 2 years, they are crying. They are saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to see this anymore. I don't want to see this blood anymore. It's, you know, I can't handle this. And then the whole social pressure is there. Then the family pressure is there. Then their own, you know, the esteem, that is there. The whole thing they are pushing forward to act in a certain way. However, that is not their nature. So varnashram dharma, basically the varnas are designed in such a way that one can do some activity according to one's nature. So it's actually a natural system. It's not an artificial system, rather it is a natural system. When we speak about varna. Now, varna in itself is not enough because there is ashram also. So what is this varnas? Basically the varnas are brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya and shudra. So brahmana means, generally we understand brahmana is, who is the brahmana? Sorry? One by one, yeah. Intelligent class, yes, that's right. Most learned, and they are the top section of the society, that's right. Peaceful, yes, that is one of the main characteristics of brahmana. Priestly class, yes, they are the priestly class. Huh? Close to God. Not necessary. We will understand whether they are they really close to God or not. Not necessary always, yeah. Eh? Learned in scriptures, yes, they are learned.
Religious.
Religious, okay, yes. Pardon, yeah. They learn and they teach. Yes, exactly. So these are different characteristics of brahmanas. Now, we can directly go to Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, where it is very clearly mentioned that what are the characteristics of a brahmana. It is 1841 to 48 in this, we can see the verse, 42. Shamo damas tapas shaucham kshantir arjavam evacha jnana vijnanam astikyam brahma karma sabhavajam. So what is the first characteristic? That is shamo. 1842. Someone can give a chair, you can come here. And huh? Get a chair from there. Oh. Come here. Don't go, sit in the back. So, Brahman, first, what is the first characteristic? He is peaceful. So, what is meant by peaceful?
No agitation.
No
agitation
to? Huh? Not necessarily. Non-violence. That is different.
Normal. Peaceful and agitated. To the influence of the modes.
To the influence of the modes. So Brahmana by nature he is influenced by some mode. What is that mode? Okay, that will come to that by goodness. So he cannot be beyond the mode. Not necessarily a Brahmana is beyond the modes. Not necessarily. So yeah, it's peaceful. As Prabhuji pointed out, it is a good, there is not much agitation. Agitation means two external disturbances in so many different ways. He can maintain equilibrium of the mind, basically.
Peaceful also means that Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Because the duality is
an agitation of the mind.
It's an it is an agitation of the mind. Then the second characteristic is chamo dama. Self-control. Self-control means control of the
senses.
Of course, mind is also involved, because without the mind, if mind is not peaceful, there is no question of self-control. So mind is also involved as well as the senses. So a Brahmin should be self-controlled. The senses has to be under control. It's difficult. It's not very easy. So this is, we are actually going away from the caste definition of a Brahmana who has got thread which we can get for 2 rupees, or in temple shop $1 or $2. So we are going away from that kind of definition, which is by birth coming to a Brahminical platform. By birth, I'm a Brahmana because I've got a thread. Right? People are respected with the thread. Or at least sometimes they used to. Now I don't know how much they are respected. However, that is not the definition. So it is a qualities. So the first quality is shamodama, then tapa. Tapa means austerity. They are ready to perform austerity. Not just austerity of working day and night to make money. Not that kind of austerity. It has to be in some connection with the Vedas. And ideally, connection with devotional service. But at least it has to be in connection with the Vedic injunctions. People are working very hard. Isn't it? Tapa, austerity is there in this world, so much. People are happy to go to work early in the morning, 7:30 they are leaving for work. And coming back at night, 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, 10:30, so many people working so hard. That is tapa, that is austerity. That is like Hiranyakashipu's austerity. You know, standing on one leg, you know, in the fire and the whole thing. That is austerity. That is also austerity. But not that kind of austerity that is recommended. That's not the Brahminical qualification. But that has to be directly in conjunction with the Vedic injunctions. Otherwise, it's not really approved. Purity. Purity means purity of
heart.
Yeah, purity of heart. That is purity of the mind and purity of the
body.
The both. Yeah, exactly. So both external and internal. Purity, external and internal. So the idea, the whole Krishna conscious society, Prabhupada recommended everyone should come to the Brahminical standards. Means we had to wear clean clothes. You know, we had to wash our clothes regularly. After, you know, what is the standard of, if it's a cotton kurta, what is the standard of washing?
Once used,
yeah. 24 hours maximum. 24 hours. It's not that we can have, you know, 2 pairs of or 3 pairs, and you know, because I am using only 2 hours a day in the morning, so I can use it for many times.
12 times.
Yeah, 12 times. Not like that. That's the reason it is standard is 24 hours. So if we go to altar, if we have especially altar service, you know, we can't use anything which is used a day before 24 hours. We had to wash it for sure. Everything. All the clothes. So that is Brahminical standard. So we had to practice. We may not be in Brahminical standard, so we have to come to Brahminical standard. It's a question of practice and training. You understand? That's the reason it is not by birth. By birth, how much cleanliness we had? When we were born, what we were covered with, our body. Was it anything clean? No. So we cannot say, you know, we were clean by birth. We are not, you know, pure as Krishna. Krishna was when he was not crying. He was, you know, he was completely transcendent to the whole thing. It's different. But we were contaminated and we are contaminated. So we had to practice. If we had to come to Brahmanical standard, we had to practice. Purity of the externals also. It involves cleanliness of the surrounding place where we are living. Not that, you know, the prasadam can be everywhere, lying, the whole thing's in upside down, and then we cannot expect cleanliness in our mind also. The mind will get agitated. The place we are living is dirty and it is upside down. Then our mind will also get affected because we are not transcendentalist completely yet. To even having an atmosphere which is in passion or in ignorance and still we remain uncontaminated and, you know, unattached to all these things. No, we will get influenced. So that is purity. So this is very practical things. Tolerance. Tolerate. Tolerance means disturbances comes naturally, but tolerate for a higher cause, for a spiritual cause. That is tolerance. Knowledge, wisdom, religiousness. Knowledge means knowledge of Vedas, scriptures. Wisdom. What is the difference between knowledge and wisdom? Sorry? Exactly, knowing how to use that knowledge. That is applied knowledge. Wisdom is applied knowledge. Knowledge is knowing one thing, and if we understand, then we know how to apply it. So that is wisdom. And then religiousness. Religiousness. What do you call that? Astikyam, Brahmakarma, Svabhavajam. Okay. So they are religious. A Brahmana cannot be a demon. Has to be religious. Means has to have some connection with Krishna, to the Vedas, connecting to Krishna. So this is a basic Brahmana. Then it is Yajan, Yajan, Padhan, Padhan. You know, he can cultivate knowledge and he teaches. And how about a Kshatriya? Chivalry, yeah. Administration generally. So it is the qualities, the specific qualities are mentioned. It is Shauryam Tejo Dhadir Dakshyam Yuthe Chapi Apalayanam Danam Ishwari Bhavascha Kshatram Karma Sabhavacham. A Kshatriya cannot run away in the battlefield. That's not a Kshatriya. There are people who will go for the fight, but they will run away. That's not a Kshatriya characteristic. So they have the power. Prabhupada gives the example. You know one classic example Prabhupada gives about Kshatriyas in the lecture on first chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
A king who lost his battle and came back alive, and his queen didn't allow him to enter.
Okay, that one, okay. Could be.
The emissary came to the queen and said, "Oh, your husband has come back, he has been defeated."
Yeah.
And the queen said, "That is not my husband. My husband would either die on the battlefield or he would be victorious."
Mm.
So therefore he is not my husband, and she wouldn't let him in.
Okay.
Said, that is
the spirit.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada also compares with drafting in America. You know, people were brought all the 18 years plus or something. They had to fight for the Vietnam War. So Prabhupada was telling, this is not the Kshatriya spirit, because people are running away. They don't want to fight, and people, the government is chasing. Come, we had to fight because, you know, we had to protect our country. Prabhupada was saying, no, this is not Kshatriya spirit at all. Prabhupada said, give examples of, okay, there are people from Punjab who had Kshatriya spirit. You remember that lecture? Prabhupada says, yeah. So they have the Kshatriya spirit. So they are happy to go and fight. So that is Kshatriya spirit, because it has to be, that is their own nature. So the own nature is there, that is good. Otherwise it can't work. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness. Can you see? Heroism. They are heroes. Power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. So these are the qualities of Kshatriyas. Resourcefulness. Do you know what the meaning of? What is resourcefulness?
They fully equipped with
the. Yeah, that.
They go for the.
What are the sources? No, not exactly having soldiers.
Resourcefulness means like properly utilizing the resources, yeah. Particularly
ability to use what they have. Wisdom.
Efficient use.
Expertise.
Efficient. Because he has to manage so many things. He has to manage people. He has to manage resources. He has to administer so many things. Everything is under him. So he has to be resourceful. He has to use everything in service. And his service is, he's a leader. And because he's a leader, he won't exploit. The natural tendency is, if somebody is a leader, he has power and he has wealth. And the material inclination is to exploit the situation. However, he protects. So Kshatriya, even though he has power, he uses the power for protection. So the definition of Kshatriya is Kshata Trayate Iti Kshatriya. Kshata means hurting. Trayate, one who protects. So he can actually fight a battle to protect all the citizens from their being attacked, being hurt. So that is the definition of the word Kshatriya itself. Kshata Trayate Iti Kshatriya. Because we need to know the different, the Varnashram exactly. Each varna and each ashram, what do they are supposed to do, so that we can actually understand varnashram, how it applies to chapter 1 from the conversation of Arjuna. How does it fit in? Yeah.
So these qualities are like interchangeable also, like some of the qualities of Kshatriya can be in the Brahmanas also, or particularly for Kshatriya?
Generally, you know, there can be common qualities. For instance, a Brahmana can have a determination, yes, in his spiritual practice.
Yes,
it's no harm in it. these are the prime, the key characteristics. It doesn't mean they say Kshatriya can be truthful. We cannot say Kshatriya is not truthful. But there is a difference. There is a difference in the field of their activity. Brahmana also manages. Brahmana also administers. What is the difference? What is Brahmana administrates and what Kshatriya administrates? What is the difference? Brahmana administrates knowledge. Kshatriya administrates people and resources and the country. So administration is there in both cases. We cannot say it's not there. It is there. But there is a field is different. The field of activity is different. Power. Say, for instance, Kshatriya has power. Brahmana also has power. But it's not the key point. Why Kshatriya has what kind of power?
Knowledge.
No, Kshatriya is not the knowledge, it's not his power. He has physical power. And Brahmana also has power. It is, you know, Brahma Teja, the power of a Brahmana. You know, they can curse and, you know, the old times. Current Brahmanas would be difficult. They may be able to break their threat, but curse will not happen. So it's a good point, but the area differs. And Vaishya and Shudra. Krishi, Goraksha, Vanijyam, Vaishya, Karma, Subhavajam. Krishi. What is Krishi? Yeah. Krishi, farming. Goraksha, protection of cows. And Vanijyam. Vanijyam is business. Vaishya, Karma, Subhavajam. And finally, what is the quality or what is the activity of Shudra? Serving others, they are serving all other three varnas. That is service to others. That is Shudra, labor.
So are these the qualities or the duties?
Specific duties. Specific duties.
They are not the natural qualities.
Natural qualities, there are some qualities in, if you see, purity, we can say it's a quality on one side. But at the same time, peacefulness, it's a quality. At the same time, if you look, these are qualities specifically, the specific qualities in this. There's an overlap. Say, if you see business, it's not a quality as such, it's an occupation also, it's a duty also. One can be business minded. If you had to put it as a quality, then one has to say it's a business minded. but both can coexist. Can you see? So he's, they are business minded, that is a quality, but their occupation is business. Say they are, they have courage in battle, they have leadership, so they are leaders. So we can see both in this. We don't have to see one side, we can see both sides. And also we can understand when we are discussing Brahmana's work, it is to teach, and the Kshatriya's work is to administer. So there is, these qualities are there, and we can see in action. So we can see the duties also in addition to these qualities. So we have to see both.
Sorry, so does it mean that in previous time people used to take birth in different classes according to their qualities, so like people or soul which have?
Okay. Yeah. So it is like previously. Okay. If we consider previous ages, the varnas were quite intact. They were in place. What does that mean? If somebody is born a Brahmana, he will not become a Brahmana because he is born in a Brahmanical family. But he needs to be trained as a Brahmana. But there was the whole circumstances, the whole environment to train him as a Brahmana. That was there. So there was a high chance that one who is born in a Brahmanical family would become a Brahmana. Otherwise he is known as Brahma Bandhu. It's a Brahma Bandhu. You see what I'm trying to say? So it's a Brahma Bandhu otherwise. Brahma Bandhu means a relative or a friend of a relative of a Brahmana. That's all. He's a relative of a Brahmana. He's not a Brahmana. He's a relative of a Brahmana. That's all. That is Brahma Bandhu. Prabhupada gives the example of a judge. A judge can be, if your father, or if the whole family is a family of judges, father, grandfather, everyone is judges, everyone is related to the law field, then it is a very high chance that the son can become a lawyer or a judge or like that. But that is by qualification and training, not just by birth. It doesn't work like that. Will you allow, if somebody's father is a doctor, will we allow his son to operate us if he is not qualified enough? We won't. Because it won't work. We'll get killed.
Can you give any example from the scriptures
where
a son of a Brahmana is not a Brahmana?
Son of a... Yeah. Ashwathama, for instance. Ashwathama is son of Dronacharya. But he was addressed as many times as Brahma Bandhu. Is it right? Yeah. If he was kind of Brahma Bandhu, not as a Brahmana, as a Brahma Bandhu.
Is there any example like who is not a Brahmana by birth, but he became an elevated Brahmana?
Oh, yeah, sure. That is, for instance, you can see the example of first kind of Srimad Bhagavatam, who is actually the main speaker of first kind of Bhagavatam? Who is that?
Sutta Goswami.
Exactly, Sutta Goswami. Sutta Goswami, he himself says, I am Viloma Jata. Viloma Jata. Viloma Jata means I am not born in a Brahmanical family. I am born in Viloma. Very low. It's a mixed class. Still, what is his position? Okay, and there are many examples.
Vidur.
We don't have to,
Vidur,
yeah. Vidur is a very good example. Vishwamitra is a Kshatriya, yeah, he became a Rajarshi, yes.
He's
a Brahma Bandhu.
He had the power,
yes. But he got training as well. Sringi, his name is Sringi, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sringi, he was trained as a Brahmana also. He was young, he was under training. So he had the power. Though he misused. Yes, bro?
This is
huh?
True, like when Prabhupada says, like, in today's society there are only Shudras.
Yeah.
And then we see here like Shudra's qualities or duties are like to serve the other ashramas.
Yeah.
So when there is no other varnas, so like how can we correlate these two?
Okay. What is the activity of a Shudra? Basically is serving, to serve, labor. Means low intelligence. By definition, low intelligence. Now, what are the most of the occupation of people in general in this world?
Serving.
IT. What does IT mean?
Employees.
Yeah. What do they do? Exactly. What do they do? You go to supermarket. You go to South Melbourne market. Okay, there will be shops are there, and there will be owners of the shops. Okay, we may consider them as vaishyas, maybe. We're giving a high status, but okay, vaishyas. Now, who are the rest? Who are working under them?
Shudras.
And they are also actually even the so-called owners of those business. They are also, they don't have the quality of a vaishya properly. So, they are also shudras. No qualification. Then when we see the modes of nature, everyone is affected by which mode of material nature, then we will understand clearly how everyone is shudra. You know, whether they be an employer or an employee, still everyone is a shudra. It is janmana jayate shudra. And talo shudra sampo, the Veda says very clearly. Kali Yuga, everyone is a shudra by birth. Yeah. Karna is Sutaputra, because he is a son of Suta. Suta means chariot. It is a chariot. So it's a mixed class. Father belongs to one class and the mother belongs to another class. So that is actually the combination of Suta. I think father, one Kshatriya, mother or father, one Kshatriya and one Vaishya, I think something like that, a combination. So that is the specific Suta. Even though he is not, but he was actually brought up by them, so it is known as Sutaputra. Actually, he's a Kshatriya, actually. But in this context, in the social system, he is like that. So, he's a Sutaputra. Now, if you consider specific duties and specific ashrams, there are duties of different ashrams also. This is Varna, and there is ashrams also. It's very dark. So, the human life, if there is 100 years, it is divided into 4 sections. 25, 25, 25, 25. So first 25 years is meant for Brahmacharya. It's all theoretical statements now. The Vedic statements have become theoretical statements now. So first 25% of the time of one's life is Brahmacharya. And the issue is, now people are coming to Krishna consciousness at the age of 20 or 25. So first 25 years Brahmacharya is out of the question. Most of the cases, maybe in Gurukul, maybe for some years, people could practice like that. And why this Varna and Ashram are present? Because it is meant for elevation to spiritual platform. So that is the aim. So for that sake, one is trained as a Brahmachari or a celibate student initially. And then can come to the platform of Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. So, here in the 16th chapter, verse number 1, it actually very nicely gives what are the activities, what are the occupational duties of all these different ashrams. We have to understand very clearly, because we must belong to some ashram. We must belong to some ashram, so we can understand what are our duties. So it is starting from Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhir. See, Bhagavan Vaja, Krishna is saying, Abhayam. So this is actually we are starting from the head of the society. Who are head of the society? Brahmana. Okay, that's right. Brahmana is the head of the society. But it is mentioned that who initiates a Brahmana? Who can give even guidance to a Brahmana? It's when Sannyasi is the head of the society in terms of ashram. So Prabhupada mentions that even a Brahmana is under a Sannyasi. So that is the head of the society. Now, what is his characteristics? He is fearless. So it is Abhayam. A sannyasi means he has the characteristics of Abhay. So why he has the characteristics of Abhay? How? Completely dependent on Krishna. Because he can see Krishna everywhere. He can see the activities of Paramatma everywhere. He can see everything is happening under the direction of Krishna. So he doesn't have to worry. So that is the sannyas. If somebody has to take sannyas, the qualification is he has to be fearless. Meaning he has to be dependent on Krishna fully. That is the qualification. first point. Then, Sattva Samshuddhi. Sattva Samshuddhi. What is Sattva Samshuddhi means? Samshuddhi. Shuddhi means?
Purity.
Purification. Sattva means one's own self. Sattva Samshuddhi, purification of one's existence. So, in that regard, it is mentioned a sannyasi cannot have any intimate connection with woman. Cannot have any intimate connection with woman. And Prabhupada gives very wonderful examples of pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So Chaitanya, even though he is a Supreme Lord, he enacted as a pastime of a sannyasi. And he followed the order of a sannyasi very strictly. So he never allowed his woman disciples to pay obeisances in a close distance when he was staying in Jagannathpuri. They had to pay obeisances in a far distance. It's not that he was affected in any way. But to keep the order of sannyas, he asked his woman disciples to pay obeisances from a distance. Yeah.
Were women allowed to be initiated in earlier days? No.
Yes.
They had to take their husbands as their guru, wasn't it?
No, initiation is possible for women also.
Earlier days as well?
Yeah. That's what is written. Yeah. Women initiation is possible.
Okay.
It's possible. Yeah. So that way he used to strictly follow the order of sannyas. And he also rejected Chota Haridas. Chota Haridas, he was a renunciant, follower of Lord Chaitanya, but he lustfully looked at a woman. That's all. He didn't do anything, you know, but he just looked at a woman with lust in his heart. And immediately Mahaprabhu rejected him. And what did Chota Haridas did? He committed suicide. He went to the confluence of the rivers. Which one?
Prayag.
And he committed suicide. And when Mahaprabhu heard that, Mahaprabhu said, that is good. Yeah, that was the response of Mahaprabhu. Of course, we know the other pastime. Chota Haridas, he got a body of a Gandharva and he glorified Mahaprabhu afterwards. And Mahaprabhu accepted his offerings. So it's not that Mahaprabhu was angry, but he was setting the standard and he accepted the service of Chota Haridas later in a different form. So it's not that Mahaprabhu didn't know or he was just too strict, but it was setting the standard. But to show that a sannyasi should be away from this kind of sense gratification. As it is said, there are two things which are detrimental in the path of spiritual progress. One is woman, that is opposite sex, and wealth. Woman and wealth, first kind of how I say, is very important. Woman and wealth can create impediments in one's devotional life straight away. So one has to be under check from these two. What is the next activity? What is the next occupation of a sannyasi? Knowledge. What is that?
Purification of your conditioned souls.
What did you say? Siddhi, exactly. Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti means? Yeah, cultivation of knowledge, and that involves distribution of knowledge also. If you wonder why the sannyasis, they are called bhikshu. Have you heard this term bhikshu? Bhikshu, what is the literal translation of bhikshu? Yeah, ask for bhiksha, means a beggar. So one can ask, why a sannyasi is a beggar? It's not a very, dignified term if you consider a beggar. Why do they ask for alms? Why a sannyasi can go and ask everyone alms? Begging each door.
Because
why do they do that?
Because then they will go, they will give association to the...
Okay, they give association. Yeah, that is one point. They give association. They don't have to accumulate things. Okay.
This is for spread the Krishna consciousness.
To spread, yeah, that's giving association to give Krishna conscious knowledge. What is that?
To kill their false ego.
Kill their false ego, yeah, that's a good point.
And to get something from them so that their spiritual life
starts. Yeah, because they use everything in Krishna service. Okay, so the point is, one, the action is in humility. It's an act of humility. They are humbled. Point number one. Second, in that way, Prabhu was pointing out, they can give association to householders and general people. They can approach people, they can actually remind them about spiritual life. So that is very important. So we can see even in our society, what does the sannyasis do? They preach, they travel and they preach. Prabhupada wanted sannyasis to always travel and preach. Goshtiananda. Yeah, that is one of the specific duties of sannyasi is to preach. In our order, the whole purpose of sannyasi is to preach. It's not nothing else, not for bhajan. It is to preach, to goshti. That is the whole purpose. So we can see sannyasi are traveling most of the time and they are preaching. That is the whole purpose. Otherwise, there is no need of sannyas. Next. It's clear, sannyas, what are the occupations, what are the duties, and what are the, you know, principles behind that. And then is down, sannyas, what is the next stage? Vanaprastha. Vanaprastha is supposed to perform austerities, tapa, austerities. Vanaprastha is the stage, their purification. So, for a sannyasi, he has the quality that he is fearless, he has samsuddhi, he has jnana yoga, vyavastiti. These are the methods for purification. That is their method of existence. However, for a vanaprastha, his method of purification is the process of tapa, by the performance of austerities. So in the old age, that is the Vedic times, people used to vana. Vana is coming from the word vana. Vana means the forest. So vanaprastha means he is leaving the house and he is going to the forest, depending only on Krishna. And he is just living in the forest, maybe wearing bark, tree bark and eating fruit. So very austere life. Why? Because he has gone through a life where he had all the comforts. Now he is giving up and he is dedicating completely to Krishna. So that is the reason such a sudden change in the activities to purify the consciousness. That is vanaprastha. Tapa. So this is the key word for vanaprastha is tapa. Austerity. It can be mind, body and tongue. Can be of the mind. Should be of the body as well as the tongue. All three different ways he performs austerities. So in our society, how does it apply? How the vanaprasthas work? Do they go to the forest? They are already in the forest of material existence. Then how do they act? How do they act? Manikandan Prabhu. I can go to Vrindavan. Yeah, I can go to one. That is Vrindavan. We also go to the forest, Vrindavan. Yeah, actually, in the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Prahlad Maharaj says, "Vanam gatoyat harimashrayatha," he tells his father, "Now you are a householder. You are enjoying too much in this situation, being a demon. Now you stop all these things and you go to Vanam gatoyat harimashrayatha. You go to the forest and now worship Hari." And Prabhupada very nicely he writes, that one, it is actually referring to Vrindavan. You see. So, our devotee, whoever wants vanaprastha, can go to Vrindavan. No need to go to, you know, to the forest here, you know, they have a set out forest here, you know, go drive Dandenong forest or whatever. But they can go to Vrindavan. So, that is vanaprastha. And, before vanaprastha, what is the next? Grihastha. In Grihastha, what are the duties of Grihastha? Yeah, okay, so it is related to one, how? It is related to charity. Why charity is an important item for a grihastha? He has wealth. Yeah. Practices to detachment, exactly, that's a good point. That is, all other three ashrams, they are not meant to work and earn money. Brahmachari cannot work and collect money, vanaprastha can't and sannyasi can't. So the whole varnashram, the whole system is supported by whom? Grihasthas. Otherwise the varnashram cannot exist because nobody is there to provide the resources. It doesn't exist anymore. So grihastha situation is very important. And second point is, since he is accumulating money, since he is working and getting enough money, so one, it is natural that one can get attached to that. So, to avoid that, one has to give in charity. So, dana is one of the prime characteristics of a grihastha, dana. What is the next? No, not what's the next. What's the next characteristics of a grihastha? It's not finished. Not finished yet. not brahmachari yet. Oh, you want to skip something, okay. Self-control, okay. What is self-control? In Sanskrit, what do you call self-control? Dhamma. Dhamma. Okay, Dhamma, what is Dhamma means? What is self-control? Yeah. Huh? Anyone read the purpose? Is there anything there?
Regarding woman?
Yeah. Yeah, self-control. This is generic, you know, throwing. We are just throwing the things, you know. Sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't hit. But you should read, then you'll get the answer. Alright, that's a good point. So that is the reason self-control. Prabhupada says everyone needs to have self-control. It doesn't mean that sannyasi or vanaprastha or brahmachari no need of self-control. Only grihastha has to have self-control. Everyone needs self-control. But Prabhupada meant is specifically meant for grihastha. He says, use sex only to beget Krishna conscious children. That is the whole idea of sense control, the self-control. Then finally, yajna, that is the third duty. Yajna, sacrifice. What do you mean by sacrifice? Tomorrow we can have fire yajna, all grihastha should have fire yajna every day in their house. Agni Hotra. Is it practical? In the bedroom or in the living room is the big yajna kund is there, and every day is offering of oblations.
Fire lamb.
Fire lamb, yeah. So it's not practical. So what is the sacrifice that we had to do? And if it's a grihastha, what is the sacrifice meant? Sacrifice of? Sankirtan, deity worship. So it's all common, you know. When we say more than one thing, it means in trial and error. One will hit. Multiple choice, at least one will hit. So specifically that is Sankirtan Yajna. Support preaching activities. That's all. That is a sacrifice. You know, we can see grihastas, they're having, you know, the Bhakti Vrikshas, preaching programs, Namahatas. That is Sankirtan. Book distribution and supporting the temple. These are all supporting the preaching activities. So that is sacrifice. That in itself is a sacrifice. Sacrifice doesn't mean we have to kill animals or put ghee in the oblation or, you know, havi, you know, havis. No, not necessarily that. That used to be the case previous ages, but not now. And finally, brahmachari. What is the prime duty of a brahmachari? Learn what? Austerity. Learn what? Oh, Vedas, okay. Scriptures. Where is scripture? So, yeah, basically study of Swadhyay. Swadhyay means study of Vedas. So we can study Vedas like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada's books are there. That is our Vedas. Veda base is there. So we can use Veda base as well. Not prohibited. So that is brahmachari. And also no connection with woman. So this is the four varnas and four ashrams. So any questions in this regard? Yes, Prabhu.
So like, if we take an example of ISKCON, and we correlate ISKCON with varna and ashrama.
Yeah.
So, specifically with ashramas, we can find brahmacharis, we can find the grihasthas, we can find the sannyasi.
Yeah.
But is there any, like when a grihastha has to move to vanaprastha?
Yeah.
So, although you are telling to go to Vrindavan, but again it is said like if you don't have the orders of the spiritual master, so there is no need to go to Vrindavan.
Yeah.
So like where is this vanaprastha specifically is fitting in our ISKCON movement?
Okay. That's a good question, because there is a ministry, there is a group of senior devotees who are actually working on this vanaprastha ashram as such. I think Jananda Goswami is one of them who is working on this vanaprastha ashram within ISKCON. If my understanding is right. But there are some devotees. So, vanaprastha ashram is existing. May not be very officially, but it is existing to some degree, as we can see, because there are devotees who have almost done with their grihastha ashram. The children are grown up and they don't have any more responsibility towards them. then they focus completely on the spiritual life. That stage is called vanaprastha. They don't have any, you know, children, look after children or anything like that. Now their only business is serving. That is vanaprastha.
So like they can stay at their homes.
They can stay at their home. Yeah, it's possible.
They have to, like,
even if they go to Vrindavan, still they need to have a home. So, you know, staying home is not a, you know, it's not a bad thing.
One process specifically for austerity goal. So my only concern is like.
Austerity in Krishna consciousness, austerity means tapodivyam. Tapodivyam, what is that? Austerity in Krishna consciousness, austerity of devotional service. It is not meditating in a hot sun with fire on four sides, or, you know, in the winter going and dipping in the ice cold water. Not that kind of austerity. Austerity within devotional service. That's all. Yeah.
Even within ISKCON, there are many devotees
I know a few families, at least one I know personally. Mm-hmm. Pretty much the son is, you know, studying and it's pretty much away. He doesn't have to take care so much. And husband and wife both serve the temple. Full time. They don't have any other. They have, you know, sustenance. They are not dependent on temple. They have enough money saved. You understand what I'm saying? So they are not dependent on the temple for their basic needs that they have. And all the time they are just serving. Simple living. Simple living. You cannot have very posh living. So that is part of the austerity. You cannot have change the car every other month, or go here, there, fly. It's not possible. So simple living. So that is austerity, to serve Krishna. So it is there. It is part of our life. It is part of our austere life. It is part of our austerity. It is definitely. And following Ekadashi. And in this case, in terms of vanaprastha, the full dedication is to service to Krishna.
Can you just give some examples from our temple?
In our temple.
To understand the things
properly.
Murli Prabhu. Name persons. I don't know. Yeah, could be. Yeah, could be. Sankarshan Prabhu, could be.
Krishna
Nam Prabhu. Yeah, one of the examples, could be. So there are people. There are actually many examples. You just look around. With this principle, you look around people. In this congregation, outside, you can find people. There are. Is it clear? Vanaprastha, any confusion? Anyone ready for vanaprastha? Not yet. So don't worry, path will open up, doors will be opened one day. Things will be revealed more clearly. There are examples, there are actually in our society, there are many people in that state. So, don't worry, here the path will be opened at one day. So any final questions regarding Varna or Ashram? No. Okay. Now, which are the modes in which different Varnas are situated? Okay. What is that? Brahmanization? So he is completely in goodness? Supposed to be completely in goodness. As much as possible, okay? Okay, then what's your answer? Goodness and passion.
Service as well.
Obviously,
passion comes
with
service.
Okay.
You can't do service without passion.
Ideally, goodness. Predominantly goodness, okay. So, okay, we will come to a conclusion. Predominantly goodness, that is a good answer. Because in the material world, one cannot remain in one mode completely. There will be a slight mixture of other modes. Because the modes are competing. When we read Bhagavad Gita, we can see how the modes are competing to eat each other, to come to. So, mode of goodness is very predominant, but doesn't mean that other modes are nil, can be there. So Brahmana should cultivate. So that is a part of actually Brahmanical training, that one should try to cultivate Brahmanical qualities. One should cultivate goodness. So it is cultivation. Means one has to struggle. Other modes can come, push it, and again try again. So it is a practice, it is a training. One has to keep doing maybe the rest of the life. So that is Brahmana. Then Kshatriya?
Passion.
Predominantly in passion.
Predominantly
in passion. So other modes can be there. He can have some goodness. Doesn't mean he's in passion, doesn't mean, you know, his room is completely messy. Can have some order. It's no problem in that, because the mode of goodness is there. It is there, but that's not the predominant, that's all. And ignorance can be there, of course. After drinking. Okay. And how about Vaishya? What mode is he affected? Combination of passion and ignorance. And finally, a Shudra? Predominantly in ignorance. The Prabhupada says, that's the reason he has to serve other class, other Varnas. And coming to the original question Prabhu had, how the whole society, how can he say everyone is a Shudra by Varna? Because everyone is affected by, predominantly by, the mode of ignorance. Predominantly. How many meat eaters are there in this whole world? Yeah, most of them, isn't it? Yeah, something like that. A very high percentage. So we can see high percentage is definitely in the mode of ignorance. So they are children. Now, what is the process of following Varnashram Dharma? It's a simple point, but it's a very important point. What is the process? Can anyone tell what is the process? Don't throw answers. Don't try. Just read 231 and tell me. What is the process of following Varnashram Dharma? Process. What is the key principle of application in process? How we actually practice? What is the principle behind that? What is that? No.
Do what duties
prescribe. Yeah, it's good. Read 231 purport fully and you pick the point. What is the question? Okay. What is the process of following Varnashram Dharma? There is a key underlying key principle in following Varnashram Dharma. What is that? From 231 purport. Yeah, that's a good point. One person said, do the prescribed duty. There is something addition to that. That is Varnashram is following the prescribed duty. Then? Oh, very good point. In accordance with the sanction of the higher authorities, higher spiritual authorities. So that is where it is mentioned. Did anyone find that in the whole purport? Last line. Anyone went up till the last line? No, dear. Yeah, that's a problem. So it is there, right there. The answer is right there in 231. Discharging one's specific duty in any field of action in accordance with the orders of higher authorities serve to elevate one to a higher status of life. So that is the essential principle in following Varnashram. No, get a chair from there. A higher authorities. Varnashram has to be performed. So in practical sense, which authority did we take guidance? If we had to follow Varnashram within ISKCON? Teachings of Prabhupada, yes, of course. Okay, we can take guidance from spiritual master and? Sannyasis or? Senior devotees. We take guidance from senior devotees, maybe from sannyasis, spiritual master, and we get guidance from teachings of Srila Prabhupada. The combination of this can be a combination of this. How to act in different varnas and different ashrams. How to act as a brahmachari. If somebody is working outside, how to work in a particular way. What job, is it okay? We take guidance. So that is very important. So Varnashram, you know, the performance is not just independent action, rather we are taking guidance. For all the devotees, that is a very common factor. That is, one has to take guidance from senior devotees. Otherwise, you will end up nowhere, no man's land. Difficult. And what is the result of following Varnashram Dharma?
You get elevated to
elevation to just what we discussed, elevation to?
Higher
status of life. In a simple terms, higher status of life. But however, in our context, in context of Bhagavad Gita, in terms of 232, what is that higher status?
Will not incur sin.
No, that's not 232. Ah, yeah, that's right. What is the verse? Heavenly planet. Swargadwaram apavritam. Is it right? Swargadwaram apavritam. So, for Arjun, he can go to heavenly planet if he performs his duty as a
Kshatriya.
Okay, now we have understood pretty much what are the duties of different Varnas and different Ashrams, and which modes are they affected by, and what is the process, the key essential principle of the process of application of Varnashram Dharma and the result to some degree. Now, in context to this, that is in context to the first chapter, where Krishna is presenting his doubts, his reasons not to fight, how much it is fitting to Varnashram, as we discussed. How can we relate, for instance, how can we actually relate, how can we see Arjuna's doubts in the perspective of Varnashram Dharma? So that is the next. We have to actually discuss this point. That is, what were, first of all, somebody who can write. Who can write on the board? No. Who? Okay.
Not at all befitting.
Huh?
Not at all befitting.
Which one? Writing for you?
No.
Okay. Now let's start. What is Arjun's first doubt? What is Arjun's first reason not to fight? Okay. Compassion, alright. Compassion. Big letters, compassion. Now, whatever we understood from Varnashram Dharma, how can we relate this reason of compassion? Big letters. Maybe capital or big letters. Okay, that's good.
Compassion is a quality of Brahmana.
Okay, point number one. That's good. It's a good point. Compassion is a quality of a Brahmana. It's more Brahminical.
But Arjuna was a Kshatriya, so it's...
Okay, and Arjuna was a Kshatriya. Just in a simple word, you know, not a long sentence. It's a quality of a Brahmana. Big letters, as much as possible. Good point.
Arjuna is a Kshatriya, that's why he has to provide protection. So he has to be compassionate in providing protection. So is it, can that can be one or no?
But he's in the battlefield and he's going to fight. The enemies are standing in front of him, and now can he show compassion to his enemies? Is that the whole point?
No.
So it's not. Is it a quality of a Kshatriya?
No.
Okay. So that is. So it is more towards a quality of a Brahman. Anything else that we can say compassion? In you know, how compassion fits in the Varnashram. Okay, Arjuna had different reasons not to fight. Okay, how these reasons are fitting in the Varnashram context? We discussed about the Varna and Ashram and its Dharma and everything. So how it is actually related to this? Anything else? Okay, then what is the next? Enjoyment. So how can we relate enjoyment and Varnashram? Is there any connection? Think.
Bodily enjoyment is in mode of
ignorance. Huh?
Bodily enjoyment is in the mode of ignorance.
Bodily enjoyment is in the mode of ignorance. Not necessarily. It is more in towards passion. No, but look, think in this way. Arjuna is considering he wants to enjoy. So in Varnashram, what can provide enjoyment? To rule. Is he killing the everyone, all the subjects?
No.
No, it's just killing the only the enemies. If they kill them, what will happen? He has enough people to rule. It's not the battle here happening, you know, killing the civilians.
He want to enjoy the share the enjoyment with his relatives.
Why not you enjoy if you follow your dharma? Exactly, simple. If you follow Varnashram, prescribed duties in Varnashram, then you can enjoy. Is it correct? Hey, it's not that Varnashram, there is enjoyment. If you do your duties, then there is the result will come. So there is enjoyment. So that is his connection to. Anything else? Basically, in other terms, we may not have mentioned this term, but to get material enjoyment as such, what do we have to do? If you do sinful activities, we get bad. Sinful activities are known as papa. So, if you do what, then we get enjoyment? Punya. Simple. So, if you do enjoyment, it's based on punya. Punya, that's it. And what? Yes, Prabhu?
Also, the reason for enjoyment for Arjuna was.
Okay. Prabhu was raised in a different context. Prabhu sees it as a quality of a devotee. If you see the purport, Prabhu sees it as a quality of a devotee. Rather than, yes, in one sense he is putting himself in the center, not Krishna. But at the same time, compassion is generally, but in the context of enjoyment we can look in that way. But otherwise Prabhu sees the whole thing as quality of a devotee, since he is not fighting. Especially we'll be seeing the second chapter, the verse 6, 7, 8 in that. 6 we can see Prabhu actually glorifies the qualities of Arjuna. The enjoyment point, it makes sense actually. Makes sense, yeah.
How can we call it punya, Prabhu? By fighting, how Arjuna will get the punya?
Because. Punya, but it's a punya because he is actually fighting. He is doing his prescribed duty.
Krishna is writing.
It's not. Is it a papa? No. It's not papa. So it's a purim. It's a punya.
Krishna writes that.
So for Kshatriya, if he kills somebody in the battlefield, where he goes? If he get killed, he will go to heavenly planet. And same with a Brahmana who is doing the animal sacrifice. A Brahmana who is doing the animal sacrifice, where he goes? He goes to the heavenly planet. So the different means, but the end in terms of material enjoyment is one and the same. One is doing the animal sacrifice, another is doing killing straight away people. Still, they are getting the same result. So it is punya. So when we put the animal in for the sacrifice, we say he is doing a punya. Because it is sacrifice, a Brahman is sitting, we say it's punya. But the same thing is applicable even for Kshatriya, because he is fighting and he is killing, but there is a stake, higher cause in one sense, as the prescribed duty, so he is getting a better result. And here, of course, the injunction of his spiritual master Krishna is there. And what is the third reason for Arjun? Fear of sinful reactions. So sinful reaction is an interesting point, because the Varnashram, one is actually worried about sinful reaction, isn't it?
Yeah.
One is worried, there is fear of sinful reaction. That is the difference between the current society and the Vedic society, the Varnashram society, because there is fear of sinful reaction. So there is something which we can do and something which we shouldn't do. Now there is no such discrimination. And that is based on the reaction, the fear of sinful reaction. So it has a strong connection with Varnashram. Since he is following Varnashram, so he has fear of sinful reaction. If he is not following Varnashram, then there is no fear of sinful reaction. Now people don't have any fear of sinful reaction. First of all, they don't accept there is any reaction. Then what to speak about the sinful reaction? So that is the difference. So there is an acceptance, the strong acceptance of Varnashram Dharma is there. So that is the reason he has that fear. So there is implication. And if not, if he is doing a good activity, he is getting Sargadvara Mapavadam. He is going to the heavenly planet. So good, there is one reaction. Bad, there is another reaction. So in either case, there is reaction, good or bad. And finally, there is very, very strong reason. destruction of dynasty. So in that sequence, unwanted progeny will come. So destruction of the dynasty should be easy. What are the reasons? In Varnashram, how does that fit in? Destruction of dynasty.
It's not a destruction of dynasty, but it's destruction of
tradition, the family tradition.
The
family tradition, rather, yeah. It's not just dynasty, the family tradition. So how does the Varnashram system related to destruction of family tradition?
Being a Kshatriya,
if they die, then there is no one to take care of the
Yeah. Yes, Prabhu.
It is like if there are no Brahmas in the Varnashram. That is certainly.
What is it? There will not be?
There will be. It is like if there are no Brahmas in the Varnashram.
It's like.
Okay,
close to. It's actually a good indication. What does it say? What is actually happening in the? We discussed last week. What does happen in the battle? Who will be killed? Heads of the family. Then when the heads of the family go,
there is no one is there to teach the religious principles.
Exactly. Yeah, not straight away. There will not be. The family tradition is lost means there is nobody to actually execute the Varnashram Dharma within the community because the heads of the families they have gone. Means there are different functions, there are different activities within Varnashram that has to be performed, however it doesn't exist because there is no one to supervise, no one to overlook. Can you see the connection to Varnashram? This is very straightforward. That is the reason there are terms used, Jati Dharma and Kula Dharma. What is Kula Dharma?
Family tradition.
What is Jati Dharma? Community project. So these are direct terms actually indicating Varnashram Dharma. Jati Dharma and Kula Dharma, they are indicating Varnashram Dharma straight away. So that will be lost because there is nobody to overlook, there is nobody to oversee the whole thing.
So like, can we say like this, like, when Arjuna is saying destruction of tradition, being Arjuna, being a Kshatriya, his tradition is to fight, and by not fighting, he himself is destructing the tradition of being a Kshatriya.
Yes, he is.
By himself, he is showing an example of non-Kshatriya.
Yeah, that's right. He's not following his prescribed duty. It's not a right example in a Varnashram society.
Yes,
perfectly it's right. Now, so far we have discussed something about Varnashram. So I want to actually remind you of one thing, which is about the open book assessment. Because open book assessment is closely related to what we discussed now. So much. One is explain the process and result of following Varnashram Dharma with reference to appropriate verses and statements from Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavad Gita. Say again, you look in your handbook. I am also just reading from somewhere. I can read it again, it's not an issue. But look in your handbook, all these questions are there. I am not creating anything new. Did you see? Explain the process and result of following Varnashram Dharma with reference to appropriate verses and statements from Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavad Gita. Now I had to make a very, very important point. When it is very clearly mentioned that purports to Bhagavad Gita, use only purport to Bhagavad Gita as the reference. Main reference. You can have some other points if very, very much required from Prabhupada's lectures or something, if really required. But the main reference has to be Bhagavad Gita purport. I am not expecting to refer any other things. You can pick points from Surrender unto Me, that's fine. But you don't have to quote Nectar of Devotion, you don't have to quote Srimad Bhagavatam, you don't have to quote anything else. Just stick to Bhagavad Gita and Surrender unto Me, understand the thing and just write it. Is that point clear? Otherwise you won't get the marks that which is actually meant to get. Because for instance, I was explaining, valuing one sample paper. So there is a lot of description on one essay, about one page, two page essay he has written. The whole one page is very related, but not from, it was about necro devotion, not from necro devotion. It was asked to write something from preface to necro devotion, but the points are valid, but not from preface of nectar of devotion. So you won't get any marks for that. It will be written a comment that is valid points but not from necro devotion. For instance, here valid points but not from Bhagavad Gita purports pertaining to these particular verses. So you are not, you don't have to read so many things. Just read Bhagavad Gita purport and surrender it to me. That's it, and just write it.
The verses that are mentioned here, right?
Yeah, everything is there. And another thing, if you can start writing now, that'd be the best, because we have discussed something regarding Varnashram. And now if you go and write an essay, that will be much easier than after forgetting everything and in the last minute you have to write 8 essays. 8 essays.
Well, writing an essay, like you said, like we can take a reference from this report. So like we have to specify in the essay like a reference from purport number.
Yeah, it is. You can, the main points you can give a few references you can give.
In the bracket
you can write.
So we have to stick with 500 verses.
Yeah, what is that?
We have to stick to these verses only.
Not necessary to stick to any verses. You don't have to stick to any verses. From particular sections of Bhagavad Gita, you can use all the verses. Wherever it is speaking about Varnashram.
What comes in the process?
Eh? You don't have to write too much. You don't have to... One point we have discussed, you can elaborate on that. There's not too much. I'm not expecting too much. My maximum is 500 words. Mark is not worth for words or pages. It's just the points is there. You'll get the mark. That's it. It's not complicated. No. No, 500 not for 8. That'll be short answers, you know. if it is 500 for 8. For each one, maximum is 500. Yeah. It is, you read the purport, you explain that in your verse. And don't copy and Hari Bol. Vedabase is available. Vedabase.net is available. Please don't copy and paste Pruva's purports. For essay. Don't copy and paste. You understand and write in your language. Sorry? Code is okay. Code is okay. Yeah, your own code is fine. Yeah, soft copy, that we can, soft copy is fine. Yes, Prabhu? Haribol, everyone listen to the question and then to the answers.
How many points do you need?
4? For which one? Going over, you mean the pass for the essays or? How many points is written in the handbook? How much is written? 10 marks, isn't it?
No, how many
points? Oh, yeah, how many points in, alright, not the marks points, okay, how many points? Pretty much, in the following of Varnashram Dharma, the key point we already discussed, mainly one point, it's according to the order, and you can explain that point, pretty much. No. No, that is actually that's not the process. That is the qualities and the attached duties. But here we are actually mentioning about the process, in the sense, the process we discussed. The primary process is, one is following these duties in according to the instructions of a higher authority, higher spiritual authority. So you can explain the meaning of that, your understanding of that. You can explain what do you understand by that in few sentences, or you know, in a couple of paragraphs, whatever. It may maybe, you know, half page to one page.
So when we are explaining this, because in Bhagavad Gita, you said like we have to take it from purpose of Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavad Gita it's only one line is written. So when we have to explain on it, we have to.
No, you can use your understanding. You can explain with you can write your understanding. There is no harm in it.
Then maybe we have to, while explaining that, maybe we have to take an example from here.
It doesn't mean you cannot choose any example, or you can't be completely. It's not like that. The point is, the main references has to be from Bhagavad Gita. The point has to be from Bhagavad Gita. It can be explained.
What's the result?
Yeah.
How does it work if someone found in the
series? The result, there are enough purports. Coming to that, the result, there is enough explanation in the purport. Just read the purport, you will get it. For Brahmana, Kshatriya, so many examples are given. What they do, their duties, what are the result they are getting.
If someone is following the duty,
Okay. So the point is, he's mentioning, okay, the whole purpose of Varnashram is to elevate. So it is not necessary that one Kshatriya become a Brahmana, or a Vaishya become a Brahmana. Not necessary in that sense. Especially when we come to the Vaishnava tradition, one can be in any of the Varnas. Doesn't matter, one can be a devotee. Vaishnavism is superior to, being a devotee is superior to whatever occupation one is performing. Doesn't matter what occupation one is performing. The ultimate aim is to become a devotee of the Lord. So it doesn't matter. One can be a Shudra by occupation. Still one can be a devotee, a pure devotee. So for a Vaishnava, the Varna doesn't really matter. Can you understand that point? So if a devotee, we don't classify according to exactly as Varna at this point.
So Prabhu, can we say like following the Varnashram is like elevation consciousness?
Of course it is elevation consciousness. It is. It is. Yeah. Who? Okay, if you ask such a question, that is, if one perfectly performs the duty of a Shudra, we are not talking about the devotees, okay? Somebody is just performing his duties as a Shudra. He, as Prabhu was mentioning, one can actually be elevated to other Varna. That is, a Shudra, after perfection of his duties in one lifetime, he can get birth as a Vaishya. So that is possible, but that is not our aim. That's not our aim. First become a Shudra, then become a Vaishya, then become a Kshatriya, then many, this is not in one or two lifetimes, many lifetimes of perfection of practice of Varnashram, and then finally come to the mode of goodness, come to Brahmanical status, and then start spiritual life, and then become a Vaishnava. No, one can become a Vaishnava straight away. So one can surpass all the Varnas as such. Now coming to the point, I'll read a very important conversation of Srila Prabhupada. It is called Varnashram Conversation. Because Prabhupada actually said, it's very important to establish Varnashram Dharma.
This is just a small talk.
Yeah.
So like you told, like the field of action is different for all the ashramas.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
And Varnas.
Yeah.
So like, if a Shudra is performing his duties properly, then he can also be elevated to the heavenly planet.
Like
a Kshatriya is performing his duties in a war. A Brahmana is performing by offering an animal sacrifice in the yajna. So similarly, if Shudra is performing his duties properly, then he can also be elevated to the heavenly planet. Is that it?
Is there any reference for that? I didn't read any reference.
No, you just like, because you just,
yeah,
like, it's a field of action is different for all the Varnas.
Yeah, but there is one more thing, because ultimately one has to come to the mode of goodness, because the ultimate aim of Varnashram is not directly going to the heavenly planet. It could be a reward at one point, but that's not the aim, that's not the objective.
And also it says that a Kshatriya is very happy when battle comes unsought because opens the door to the heavenly planet. So that implies that just because he's a Kshatriya and he follows his duty, if there's no war, then the door for the heavenly planet hasn't been opened. That's the right. So there seems to be a trigger for the
aim, ultimate aim, if you see, even for each ashram, is ultimately come to the mode of goodness. Why come to the mode of goodness? Because the liberation is only possible from the mode of goodness. It's applicable for us also. For a devotee being a Shudra doesn't mean that he is fully in ignorance. If a devotee is performing Shudra occupation, doesn't mean that he is in ignorance. We have to understand this point very clearly. If a devotee is doing a Shudra occupation, occupation is a Shudra occupation, doesn't mean that he is in full ignorance. Otherwise we will misunderstand many devotees. We can have Brahmanas, you know, Brahmanas, second initiated, but occupation could be Shudra occupation. Doesn't matter. Can you see that? You can see that. Occupation, if you see outside world, they may be engaged in an occupation which is just working for somebody else. But he is second initiated, he is a Brahmana. So for a devotee it can coexist. Two things can exist simultaneously. Because he is a Vaishnava already. He is beyond. Now, regarding Srila Prabhupada's very important conversation, I just wanted to read a few things. For what? Which one?
For animating the Kaula, for example of Kaula.
Huh?
When our Muni was coming for a Brahmana and a Kaula,
Kaula
is like doing his Shudra activities properly, but he got elevated to the Vaikuntha.
No, it is not because why? Okay, that's a good. was it because he just performed his duty in a proper way? Is that the reason he was elevated to Vaikuntha? No. No, because of devotion. Because of devotion. So the aim is devotion.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just looking for that document. Okay. One second, bro. Hold on. Okay, for instance, has anyone heard about, recently we were discussing, heard about a conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy?
Yes.
Many people, yes? You have heard? Yeah, that's good. So in that conversation, Mahaprabhu rejects what we discussed now, Varnashram Dharma. So, placing everything in perspective, I just want to read a little bit of a long conversation between Prabhupada and some of his disciples. So it is Sarup, Satsarup. So Satsarup Maharaj, he is telling to Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya, when Ramananda Roy brought this up, he said it was not possible in this age to introduce this. Valid point?
Yeah,
you understand? Varnashram system, it's not possible to establish in this age. So are we discussing something which is, you know, it's of no use? So Prabhupada is saying, yes. So was agreeing. Then he said, he did not say possible. You understand? He did not say it's not possible. He said, Iha Bahya. From Mathilila 851. The Lord replied, this is external. You had better tell me of some other means. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was interested only on the spiritual platform. He had no idea of material side. He rejected material side. So Varnashram is the material side. Varnashram Dharma as such is not spiritual. But it is a stepping stone to spiritual platform. because one can be in the mode of goodness, and the mode of goodness in itself is not spiritual. But if somebody is in the mode of goodness, then one can practice spirituality, Krishna consciousness easily. Somebody can get up early morning and chant. If somebody can get up early morning, then one can chant quality rounds. If somebody is sleeping in all the time, then how can he chant good quality rounds? Not possible. If somebody is not clean, can he have a better mind, an unagitated mind? Not possible. If the externals are very dirty, is it possible to focus on Krishna very nicely? No, because we will get affected by all these things. So it is a stepping stone. Now, but for Mahaprabhu, in this context, in this conversation, Mahaprabhu didn't mind. Mahaprabhu is just looking for the highest. He didn't care about Varnashram, because he is completely on the transcendental platform. Now, Satyarupa is saying, but don't we do that also? So Satyarupa Maharaj is saying, okay, so it should be applicable for us also. Reject completely Varnashram. So Prabhupada is saying, no, our position is different. Can you see? Our position is different. We are trying to implement Krishna consciousness in everything. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally took sannyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally took sannyas. So he was part of Varnashram in one sense. He rejected completely material, Nishkinchana. But we are not going to be Nishkinchana. We are trying to cement the troubled position of the... That is also in the prescription of Bhagavad Gita. We are not rejecting the whole society. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected everything. Iha Bahya. Rejecting meaning, I do not make much interest in this. Bahya, it is external. He was simply interested in the internal, the spiritual. But our duty is that we shall arrange the external affairs also so nicely that one day they will come to the spiritual platform very easily, paving the way. Can you understand that point? That if we need the Varnashram is the external, it's the material situation. If one is not properly situated in one's ashram, then one cannot properly practice spiritual life. That is the reason if Brahmachari is properly situated as a Brahmachari, then he can practice Krishna consciousness properly. If a Grihastha is situated properly as Grihastha, then it is very conducive to practice Krishna consciousness. If family life is upside down, then it is not possible to focus on Krishna. There is a difference between, you know, people say, okay, these rules and regulations, this is, you know, we give up, few rules we will follow, but not everything, it's not required. If you see Paramahamsas, they can actually reject, they don't have to do all the rules and regulations. Something which is not required, they can actually give, they don't do. But there is a difference between us and them. Because for us, we are from the background of Mlaicha, Yavana, whatever law, you know, the lowest of the background we are from. And we don't know first of all the rules and regulations. And we are lazy, so we reject the rules and regulations of Varnashram in devotional service. We skip few rules. That position, that is way far from a Paramahamsa who is already spiritually conscious and he is fully aware of the rules and regulations and he is not lazy and he is rejecting some rules and regulations because of the higher reason for worship of Krishna. So there is a whole different platform. There is a whole difference from our attitude and their attitude. The huge gap. So we can see Madhavendra Puri, you can read the verse in Bhagavad Gita quoted Prabhupada. That is, you know, Santhyavandanam Bhadramas. He's saying, okay, I don't have to do Santhyavandanam. The Brahmanas chant Gayatri 3 times. He's telling, you know, I'm not going to do Gayatri mantra every 3 times. Because I am already engaged. My mind is completely absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna. So I don't have time for taking Ma 3 times. I don't have time for chanting Gayatri. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. We cannot refer that verse for ourselves because we are already in ignorance and we are lazy also. So we have to follow all these things. Whatever we think we don't have to follow, we should follow all everything. So that actually we can at least be situated in the mode of goodness and where we can start practicing Krishna consciousness in a proper way. Can we understand the difference? Why Varnashram, the rules and regulations, even within Varnashram, to some degree it is very well applicable for us. So here, Prabhupada's instruction is we have to establish Varnashram Dharma within our society. He's telling we have to train Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. That is the message. So Prabhupada is actually emphasizing. And this is one conversation is in America in 1974 and one is in 77 in Mayapur. there has to be varnashram institutions, and the farms have to be used to train different varnas.
Where does it come from?
Oh yeah, from Vedavis, yeah. Of course from Vedavis. Yeah, both the conversation from Vedavis. Yeah. Maybe I can give you later. You can ask me later, I'll give you. Yeah. Alright, we have to go ahead. What is that? Yeah, we'll discuss that today. Alright, we will come to last but one. So irrespective of, for us, simple, irrespective of Varna or Ashram, what we had to do?
Devotional service.
Whatever Varna, whatever Ashram, same. And Prabhupada says, Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, Shudra Kenanai, Ye Krishna Tattva Veti, Se Guru Hoi. Somebody can teach Krishna consciousness if he is 100% Krishna conscious. He can become a guru, a spiritual master, if he is 100% Krishna conscious. We'll see that. Now, we can get into pair. Pair means two. A couple. I'll give you 5 minutes and I'll give you the question. You have to discuss with your pair. What will be your preaching arguments if someone says that your Varna is determined by birth? Just 5 minutes I'll give. You can refer Bhagavad Gita 4:13. 4:13. What is the question? Again, question? No? Question is clear? You got the question? Okay. What will be your preaching argument if someone says that your Varna is determined by birth? 4:13. 1:3. If somebody, you know the question? Okay.
Shudra.
Can I get the key, bro?
I kept it on the chair.
Okay, we have enough arguments, I believe. We can share.
We have to take examples from this photo or from other examples also.
Anyway, try from here. Then, if not, we gave it, still, just, it's fine, just to think. Okay, Haribol, so you can give some examples. Oh, just, what's your preaching argument? If somebody says, okay, so the mode acquired is, what is the point? Mode acquired is not dependent on birth. Okay, mode is not directly dependent on birth. Or in the sense, not exactly the birth of a family. Depend on a particular family. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Can you use the example of someone says, someone argues about this point? A son born in a doctor family cannot be a doctor.
Okay, that's a good example. Yeah, it's a good example. It's a good example. That is, doctors, son, not necessarily. Yeah. Exactly, that is a very important point. That is, guna, guna and karma. Very important. Guna karma vibhagasya. Chaturvarnya maya srishtam, guna karma vibhagasya. So it is determined, Chaturvarnyam, the four varnas are determined by guna and karma. That is, guna is the qualities and the activities. So where is mentioned that it is determined by the family? Or janma or something like that. Is it mentioned? No, it's never mentioned. I had an experience. When I went to India, one time I went to a temple. So it's our family temple. So I went there and I didn't have any, because I was not second initiated that time, so no thread around. So I was questioned, I was put to a corner and asked, where are you from, who are you, where are you, the whole thing, you know. Yeah, you've been also asked, yeah, it can happen. So I said, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, you have to have a thread, or it doesn't mean that one has to be born in a certain family to get thread, to get initiated. And he said, no, the qualification, one is the caste in which you are born, and second is the age. If you are of certain age and if you are born in a particular family, then you can, then you can have the thread and, you know, then the whole thing is fine. Otherwise, no. So this is exactly opposite to guna and karma. It's something else. Caste and age. Yeah, janma. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Any other arguments? You have any other argument?
Although Brahmanas by quality are supposed to know about Brahman, the supreme, but most of them reach only the impersonal.
Okay, yeah, that's the point. So that is, again, it's a quality. It's a qualitative difference. Any other points? Any other preaching points? From generally?
Also, one can argue, like, if it is just the birth, one can imitate, kind of, or show a false identity.
Mm-hmm.
So wearing the thread, I can tell I'm Brahmana and born from some Brahmin family, I can say, that doesn't make me Brahmana.
So it's a show bottle.
Yeah.
So just birth implies show. What do?
Artificial fake. Fake
identity. Okay. Then what is the next? Somebody said something. Yes.
Become like a friend of the Brahman.
All right. That's a good point. Brahma Bantu. We discussed already. Brahma Bantu, at least one person remembers, that's good. Oh, he wasn't here. So he knew. So the rest of the people don't even remember this. Then what else? Anything else?
Like even for material qualifications, we need the.
Yeah, that is pretty much the. It comes in the doctor example. Yeah. Any other arguments?
It requires training to be in one of the
learners. Training. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. So we can add here. The point is training, actually. Training. Is it clear? Just the training is the point. Okay. So, yes, Ruby, anything else?
So, can we use the example of current representatives of our society, like it happened in Bihar, very much divided. Me, actually, on the basis of
caste. Yeah.
And yet, I mean, he has got 100 cases on his list. I said that he is also a Brahmin. It doesn't mean that you have taken birth in a Brahmin caste.
Yeah.
I mean, you can have hold of all the Brahmin, I mean, all the Vedic traditions.
Yeah, it's a good point, because we can, the point is, we can actually use the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita to see the Shastra Chakshus. He's actually seeing the world with this knowledge and seeing it's not working actually. Brahmanas, this one qualities are given, and it's exactly opposite or extreme. Not even fitting into the Varnas or Ashram. You know, the outcast, completely out of the system.
But, a Brahman is one who knows Brahman.
Yeah.
As one who knows Brahman knows he's not the body.
Yeah.
So if a Brahmana is based on the body, as in by birth, therefore they can't coexist. A Brahmana then.
Okay. Yes, interesting argument. Yes, good. So, Prabhuji's point was the examples from the world. Current society. Actually, in that, Brahmana, ultimately he knows Brahman. He's not the body, but he can be of different degrees. Is in the process of understanding that one is not, at least one should start from the theoretical understanding, and he's actually evolving in his understanding and realization. A Brahmana doesn't mean straight away he knows, you know, he has a full realization that I am not the body and I know, you know, the Supreme Brahman or Brahman at least. You understand that? That has to be clear. It doesn't mean that he knows, but it's a theoretical understanding and building on to realization. So, but that's enough still, that's enough. Because at least he knows theoretically that he's not the body, and at the same time he's telling, no, it's by birth. So that argument cannot coexist. That's a good point. So what should I write? It's a good argument. What should I write? Meaning of Brahman? Okay, whatever. Meaning of Brahmana is not understood. Now we are going to the final section. Finishing touches. So it's a group exercise. How many groups are there? We can accommodate 6 groups. A few people can come. How many people are there here?
8 tables
here. 7 tables are here. Few people can come here. 1, 2, 3, 4. So 5 at least. In one table there should be at least 5. Huh? No, we had to use the space. So you be here only, more people can come here. Hari Bol? We had to split as 6 groups. Jaspal Prabhu, both of you can join this team. Mani Prabhu and Kana Prabhu can come here. Bring chair also. Chair, no chair. Hari, while coming from back, bring some chairs. Not enough chairs here. Here more people should come here. Hello. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, we cannot have 7 groups. We'll have 6. We can have 7, no problem. That's too much. No. We'll have to have a big group here. Alright. Which group are you in? No, you, how many people are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 already. You joined that group? That one, yeah. You joined, turn aside now. Okay, Prabhu. Wait for 10 minutes. It's 10 minutes for discussion and come up with something. What is that? That is in the yeah. Last week I have the sheet I'll give you. The hand paid. Okay, I'll make the payment paying thing. Hari Bol, I had to make an announcement. Those who haven't paid for the books, they had to pay today.
We don't pay
so, Treasury has asked money from me, so you had to provide. Mani Kumar Prabhu. Money, give it to Mani Kumar Prabhu. Okay, Hari Bol, 10 minutes. Alright. 9 minutes, so one more minute left. Okay, Hari Bol, we had to start. Hari Bol. So, who has done 2.6? 2.6. Anyone else has got 2.6? Huh? Only you got 2.6. Yeah, they also got 2.6. Okay, so we have two groups with 2.6. That's good. Have you come to some conclusion? Already, okay. So this group can come and present.
Well, I'm not doing it.
Then you do it.
Oh, no.
Yes, take the question. Haribo. Haribo? Yes. Haribo? It's very important because open book, it is quite relevant. Is it right? Open book exam question, it is very relevant.
They won't get the same question.
No. Two groups have same question.
Okay. So, our group exercise was titled Arjuna's Dilemma and Surrender unto Krishna.
That is common for everyone, the title, but the verses are different.
Okay. So, we got 2.6.
Yeah.
And the general principles...
Okay. Just a comment. You can start from read the translation of the verse, okay. And then from there you can start.
Okay. Who will be the best thing to do? Or to fight and kill all his family members and everything. Okay.
Carry on. Carry on. Calm down, everyone will get the mic.
So if he kills everyone, they can't live in an absence, and Prabhupada explains in the purport that that's another kind of defeat. So he sees both options as defeat. He feels stuck, it's all bad options. And then in the second part of the purport, Prabhupada explains that all these considerations of Arjuna proves that he's a great devotee. The number one, he explains that he's highly enlightened and has control of his mind and his senses. Because he was brought up in royal household and everything, and this proved that he wasn't attached to, okay, I've got to get a kingdom. Is that right? Yeah, okay. So this showed a detachment. And for him, he was faithful and tolerant towards Krishna, where he was trying to rise to him. He knew what was best for him. So he was ready to take instruction. So obviously to take instruction from the spiritual master and be ready to follow and be faithful to the spiritual master is great signs, the signs of a great devotee. So that's probably the surrender unto Krishna principles. Okay. And how are these principles relevant to your own practice of Krishna consciousness? So a few things came up, whether to go to Mangala Aarti before work. That's one consideration. It might affect your work, and you might not work properly. You might get fired from the job, falling asleep at the job or something. Is that right? Yeah? Okay. for myself, whether to take prasadam or go on Harinam. Or if it's raining outside, oh, maybe you should go on Harinam. No? Seems like both are bad options. So you go out, you get wet, and there's no one on the street or here. You think like that. So in surrender unto Krishna or the spiritual master, that's the only thing that's going to satisfy us if we follow that instruction of the spiritual master. So when we try and think about ourselves and our own self-interest, you know, what we want, is usually everything looks like a bad option. But when we surrender onto, or you know, follow the instruction of the spiritual master, we can't. It's done. It's good. It's gonna work out.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, bye.
6.6, group 2. You don't have to read the translation, you can come here.
So the first question is like,
Haribon, listen everyone carefully.
Identify the general principle drawn from the Arjuna's dilemma. So we identified few of the principles like unnecessary violence, control over mind and senses, accepted his friend as a spiritual master, and learned person argument. So these are the principles that we find relevant from this. And discuss how these principles are relevant in our own practice of Krishna consciousness. It's like unless the senses are controlled, there is no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge, and without the knowledge and devotion, there is no chance of liberation. It is also explained in the purport by Srila Prabhupada as well. And the second thing is like how can this be relevant in our Krishna consciousness? We can state like that. Any big doubt in the devotional approach. Means if you want to do any devotional service or if you are practicing the things, then we need to take guidance from our senior devotees or the spiritual master. That's what we came with.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. So in 2.6, I also identified a few points. So in summary, I would say the first point they mentioned, that was the dilemma, that is confusion. That is actually indecisiveness, unable to decide what to do. So that is a one good point. It is very important point. And from there, it starts from qualities of a devotee. So they told most of the qualities, and one point they missed, and that they covered. So one was the sign of detachment. Prabhupada mentioned very important point, sign of detachment. And control of the mind and the senses. Then faith in Krishna. First faith in spiritual master and tolerance. And the final point is, if there is no sense control that they mentioned, one cannot come to the platform of knowledge. And then one cannot come to the platform of liberation. So everything starts from sense control. So these are the key points. So few examples they gave regarding the confusion part, the dilemma part. And they gave some examples regarding approaching a spiritual master. Okay, so it's fine. Thank you. We covered many of the points. And it will be directly useful in the open book. Isn't it? Open book is in this section, there is an open book question, is it right? And the key point is why Srila Prabhupada is mentioning the qualities of a devotee is because without these qualities one cannot approach a spiritual master and cannot make progress in devotional life. So it is mentioning Arjun has these qualities, so we can see in next verse. It is very relevant because it is approaching Krishna. So we will go to 2.7. Who has 2.7? Okay, one group. Okay, you can come out. One of you can present.
You have to read the
text. Yeah, read the translation. Do you remember it?
Yeah, I remember.
Now I'm confused about my duty, and I'm bewildered because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me what is best for me. to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I'm your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So the points about the general principles that we drew from this verse were that I think Prabhupada writes in the purport that Arjuna had these doubts, yet still, so he didn't want to fight, but still he couldn't decide whether to fight or not. So we can't rely on our own power of reasoning or logic to solve a dilemma. And, you know, the dilemmas of life, mostly what we're talking about, that, and Prabhupada writes in the purport that these dilemmas or perplexities come without our desire. They just happen, that we get diseased and old and everything. So, therefore we must, another principle is that we must have a guru to solve these perplexities, and that's not only the guru, your own actual guru, but there's also sadhu and shastra, instructing gurus and Prabhupada's books, senior devotees. And I think in the Prabhupada quotes books, there's a lecture where he's talking about Arjuna is calling himself a kripana, a miser, because he has the ability to fight. He's a very good fighter, but he doesn't want to. So that's, you have this ability, or any ability, or he gives an example of, you have a very rich man, but he doesn't want to spend his money, that's his miserly. And so similarly, the human form of life is the most valuable asset for bringing about a permanent solution to life's problems of birth, old age, death and disease. But we have this opportunity, but if we identify on the basis of skin disease that we're our body, everyone else is their body, then that is acting as a kripana, miserly. We're not using the opportunity properly to go back home to Godhead. And then application in our, own Krishna consciousness. Yeah, we should, I guess, make full opportunity of this process of Krishna consciousness. I'm just going off the top of my head here, didn't write much for it. Make full opportunity of, in a very fortunate position, so we should be aware that not to be a kripana, not to be a miser. Chant Hare Krishna nicely.
Next rule.
I don't like it.
Yeah, there's a problem. The first thing is identifying the general principles drawn from Arjuna's dilemmas and surrender unto Krishna. The first thing over here is the perplex. Arjuna is perplexed in his duties over here, and he doesn't have answers to his own questions that he is asking from Krishna. He is confused and he accepts that he is confused. He uses his own theories, knowledge, but he could not come to a solution for it. And it is of no use to him, like whether to fight or not, you know, kill his own family members or not. So he's in a dilemma right now. So he's seeking answers from Krishna because he accepts him as his spiritual master. And that's a sign of that's a trait of a devotee, that he's very humble and he accepts Krishna as his spiritual master. And he's ready to take instructions from Krishna. So this shows that he, being a Kshatriya, still he has a lot of traits of a devotee. And he didn't want to fight. You know, he didn't want to have bloodshed on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And for as soon as he surrenders unto Krishna, he finds that his perplexities, his problems get solved, and he finds answers to all his questions that he was looking out for. And the second part of the conversation is like these principles, how they're relevant to our practice in Krishna consciousness. If we see ourselves in our position in Krishna consciousness today, we feel that like at every stage of Krishna consciousness, we are looking out for answers as well, because we are perplexed in this material world. What we do for that is we approach senior devotees and Vaishnavas and Shiksha Gurus who can answer and help us so that, you know, our problems get solved. We get answers to our problems at different stages in our Krishna consciousness as well. Because we are not perfect, we are just trying to attain a level at different times in Krishna consciousness as well. So we always approach Shiksha Gurus. Although we, like most of us, don't have a spiritual master, but what we do is we do approach our senior Vaishnavas who can guide us in the best way so that we can know the answers to our next step, what we want to do next. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Oh. Okay. Thank you. So in 2.7, everyone covered the main one very important point. In the life, perplexities come, and it is without our desire. And what example does Srila Prabhupada give? Very good example Prabhupada gives.
Fire in the forest.
Fire in the forest. Nobody is setting the fire. In the forest fire, nobody is going and lighting the matches and putting there. It is automatically. In the same way, exactly in the same way, the problems of our life, it just comes like that. We don't have to do anything. Special prayers are not really required. It will come automatically. And we don't desire. We don't have to desire for that. It will come for sure. So the life is perplexed. That point very nicely mentioned. And this team actually mentioned the same. Who was the first team? No. 2.7. Who did? First year. They mentioned that is, it is without desire. That is a very good point that mentioned. Without desire, it will come. Then second point is the difference between Kripana and the Brahmana is exactly the opposite term. Kripana and Brahmana. Kripana means Karpanya Dosha. It is a miserly weakness. So Kripana, Brahmana, opposite term. Brahmana is generous because it is like if somebody has a lot of money, still he is eating only dry chapati and drinking tap water. But he is considered a Kripana because he has all the facilities till he doesn't use. In the same way, in the human form of life, we have all the facilities to go back home, back to God, and if we still don't use any of these facilities, then we are
Kripana.
So we have to be Brahmana. Okay, everyone should become Brahmana. So that's the point. Now, the very, very important point is that Arjuna has the intelligence to understand his position. So that is, you also mentioned that point. That is, Arjuna had the intelligence to accept, okay, I am confused. To understand the problem itself is a big thing. If we accept the problem, that is a pathway to solution. And if we don't accept the problem already we have, then there is no question of solution. So Arjuna was intelligent enough to understand the problem and then to approach a bona fide spiritual master. And also there is one more point that I think both of the teams did. He offers himself to Krishna as a disciple and he agreed for a serious relationship with Krishna. Because in the two words later, you can see the relationship between Krishna and Arjun changes after he accepts as a spiritual master. Even that is very, very important. Even in our practical dealings, even if we are accepting a spiritual master, if we are actually serving a spiritual master, and when that relationship becomes formal, even initially the spiritual master could be friendly and, you know, can give maybe a bit jovial with you, but when he gives instruction, that can be heavy, and we have to be ready to accept that.
So these are called applicable to this mic.
Yes, of course it is applicable because it's written in the purport. This is towards the end of the purport. It is written very clearly. He offers himself to as a disciple and agrees for a serious relationship with Krishna. So the relationship is changing. So even in our practical dealings, we can actually change, see that. That is, relationship with the spiritual master, that is serious. It's no more friendly. So you can chastise, you can correct, that is the whole purpose. And if you don't want, then what is the whole point? And practical applications, what was you mentioned, few practical applications. One is approaching senior devotees, and ultimately, one has to accept a spiritual master for
progress in the spiritual life. It is essential. We cannot say it is not required for me. For everyone else, it's required. Yes, Prabhu.
So, like you said, we need to approach spiritual matters.
Yeah.
For development in spiritual life.
Yeah. Material addresses as well. Sometimes our material circumstances has, not sometimes, all the time, it has a direct influence on our spiritual life. So we may have to take guidance in our material situation sometimes because it has a direct influence on our spiritual life. For instance, the job situation. Maybe we may ask spiritual master, whether if I do this, will it be good for my spiritual life? So it's not a a financial advisor or a career planning or not in that sense, but in connection with our Krishna consciousness. So we may take the guidance. That's okay. But we cannot say, you know, how much money should I earn? You know, what job career? You know, can you show my job perspective after 12 years? What am I going to do after 12 years? You have all the mistakes with these, so please reciprocate in this. No, that's not the purpose. Okay, that's not the purpose. Okay, now we'll go to the 2.8. Who is two teams? Yeah, okay, come on.
Out of the three questions, we spend most of our time talking about question number three, which was selecting group member. We put the names down in my finger, but then we fought over who would choose the finger. So eventually, they chose me. The first question is to identify the general principles, and we found three principles that we could draw from Arjuna's dilemma. The first one is that you might have higher learning of codes and principles, but it will not free you from anxiety and miseries of life. And the second point is that to be free, one must take refuge of Krishna consciousness. And point three was that to be free, you also need to accept a higher authority who is 100% Krishna conscious. So it's not just accepting a higher authority, but one who is 100% Krishna conscious. And the second part of the question is, how is this relevant to our own practice of KC? It's basically, we might know various theories and intricacies of devotional life, of the Varnashra Dharma or deity worship, whatever. But if there is no control of the senses, and if we do not take refuge of Krishna, and we do not follow, and if we do not take the guidance of a spiritual master, then we'll be in the dilemma. And question number three, that's me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Should I read the verse?
Translation.
Read the translation of the verse first. 2.8. I can find no means to drive away the grief which is drying up my senses. I'll not be able to dispel it even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. So, general principle that we discuss from this verse and the purport is that irrespective of our qualifications and knowledge that we have, in order to solve our real problems of life, we need to accept a bona fide spiritual master. Without that, all other knowledge becomes useless. So there are a couple of sentences within the purport. I'll just like to read out that. Academic knowledge, scholarship, high position, etc. are all useless in solving the problems of life. Help can be given only by a spiritual master like Krishna. Therefore, the conclusion is that spiritual master is 100% Krishna conscious, is the bona fide spiritual master, for he can solve the problems of life. And there's another sentence later on in the purport saying, irrespective of whatever other influences you might have, problems of life still come across. Sentences that in many parts of the world there are states which are replete with all facilities of life, which are full of wealth and economically developed, yet the problems of material existence are still present. They are seeking peace in different ways, but they can achieve real happiness only if they consult Krishna or the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which constitute the science of Krishna through a bona fide representative of Krishna, the man in Krishna consciousness. So the whole purpose stresses on the importance of a spiritual master, and so the practical application for us also is to accept a spiritual master, take association of senior devotees. Those who have accepted spiritual master, they need to develop that mood to serve the spiritual master, and those who have not accepted need to take a focus towards accepting a spiritual master. And once, even before getting a spiritual master, we tend to accept instructions from senior devotees, and we need to develop that mood of being able to accept instructions and not just hearing it and to act upon it further. Thank you.
That's good. So we had actually in this three key points were there in the 2.7. First point was 2.8. First point was Prabhuji, both three mentioned one can have so many qualifications, however one is helpless to solve the problem. So one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master. That is covered by both the teams. That is good. Second, the qualification of a spiritual master. He has to be 100%. And then in that regard, Srila Prabhupada quotes his verse, Kibha Vipra, Kibha Nyasi, Sudra Kenana, Ye Krishna Dutta Veti, Se Guru Hoy. That is Krishna Dutta Veti, one who knows Krishna consciousness, the science of Krishna consciousness. It's not because of Sudra, Kibha Vipra, it's a Brahmana, Nyasi, it's a Sanyasi, or Sudra. It doesn't matter whichever social order, whichever Varnashram system he is belonging to, still if he knows the science of Krishna consciousness 100%, then he can be a guru. And such a bona fide spiritual master one should approach. So that is, everyone told that point. Good. Then final one point I think you people mentioned, that is, even though one can have all the economic development and the whole thing, but the economic development and the affluence doesn't lead to solving the four mysteries of life. So that's a very important point, because the whole world is turning after, driven by economic development. Still it's not solving the problems of life. So that is one point. So the whole section, if you consider 2.6, 7 and 8, it is giving the qualification of a disciple. That is given in the purport to 2.6. Then the actual process of surrender and why it is required, it is further explained in 2.7. And 2.8 also is explained to further degree. So the essence is one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master, and the qualification of a spiritual master and qualification of such a disciple, it is very nicely described. Why one has to approach a spiritual master? What is the qualification of a spiritual master? What is the qualification of a disciple? All these things are discussed here. And interesting enough, the same question is the personal application discussed. Discuss how the general principles drawn from Arjuna's dilemma are relevant for your own practice of Krishna consciousness. 2.6 till 11. So you know, we discussed, we can again read the whole verses. I took only the three verses, the prime verses, but you can read the whole section and you can answer. Is it clear? So open book is very straightforward, there is no hidden agenda. And stick to Bhagavad Gita purport. Don't go to Bhagavatam, don't go to Chaitanya Charitamrita, stick to this. So it will be easier for me, it will be easier for you, it will be easier for Marx also. Yes?
How much generalization do you want? Because you can almost get the 500 words in any of the top 10.
Yeah.
So to what degree would you rather just put as much...
Look, it depends on the question. Look, in this question is personal application. So, in personal application, you can pick all the qualities. The qualities which are required for a disciple as described. So, you can very easily fill 500 pages with 500 words are like, I don't think it's nothing. You can write a few thousands actually. If we consider the qualities, what we have to achieve and what we have to do, we can write pages. So, 500 words, I don't think it is very difficult, at least in this question. There could be questions where it's not that much required, then write less.
Would you prefer us to concentrate on a few qualities, or would you rather go into depth on
on how it actually affects our life, or would you rather get the number of qualities down and understand how?
Either way you can do. That is, you can get into few qualities and explain it on an elaborate way, or you can pick few more qualities and display it in a moderate way. So both are okay. Both are okay. Question six. What is question six?
General question.
So that will come. That is part of it. That is, with reference to verses of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1 to 3, explain how application of Varnashram Dharma can support your practice of Krishna consciousness. List some practical ways you can apply the principle of Varnashram Dharma in your practice of Krishna consciousness. It's pretty straightforward as well. And yes. No, there is no harm in discussing, but answer should be yours. No, that you will get no mark. Plagiarism is not allowed. Plagiarism is not allowed. That's the point. One can discuss with me, one can discuss with your roommates or friends, that's okay. But give your answer. And other person should give his answers, not just copy paste everything. Give your answers. Because your problems are different from his problem. Personal application.
Like personal application is okay, but understanding and others.
Understanding, you can discuss. There is no harm in discussing. There is no harm in discussing because but if you copy paste, then it's no mark for that. And I had to make two announcements. One is regarding attendance. Attendance is very important. And we have 7 lessons in this unit, and I expect at least 4 lessons to be attended to fit for the exam.